guys know I can always get you the notes. Anybody needs the notes. All right, let's rock and roll. We had a good time last time. Let's get ready to rock and roll. We are going to be in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 46. We already looked at some of this before. So let's just come in here and let's try to make this bigger. Okay. Oh, there we go. Okay. This is really a review. Roger has some good comments on this. That's the lesson for next week. Oh, that is the lesson. Okay, so let me get to. So again, it's Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Come on. Let's go. Trying to get there. Oh, yeah, now I'm in the right spot. Okay, here we go. There, finally. Woohoo! All right. Again, the kingdom of heaven. Remember what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of heaven is that process for how God starts to reign in our life. And it's also how God starts to reign in the earth. All right? So again, the kingdom of heaven, or the process, or it's like a treasure hidden in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. So this is just review, new for some of them. All right. So let's take the parable apart. So when we took the parable apart in the natural, we know there's a treasure, something of great value. Person finds this treasure. They didn't see it or possess it before, but they see it now. All right. They must not have legal possession, so they hide it in the same field. And we figured that out. Under Carson says, under rabbinic law, the workman came on a treasure in the field and lifted it out, it would belong to the masters. So he had to be careful not to lift the treasure out until after he had bought the field. So they got to recognize that this field is of great value. And notice that the scripture says it's with great joy. They find this treasure, they have great joy, and they run out and they buy the field, and they sell all they have to get it. All right. Again, this is just review. So that's what the parable says in the natural. Let's figure out what it means in the spiritual. So here's what some of my favorite commentators said. David Guzik says that the field is the world. But the man does not represent the believer. Instead, it's Jesus who is the man who gives all that he had to buy the field. Everybody nod your head and say, yes, that's correct.
Amen, yes.
Spurgeon says, so Jesus himself, at the utmost cost, did buy the world to gain his church, which was the treasure in which he desired. You can nod your head and say that's correct too. We see that clearly in Hebrews, especially as he makes that connection between a man and a wife. You know, and husbands are supposed to love their wives and give themselves to their wives, just like Christ loved and gave himself for the church. So they're not incorrect, though it did not line up, as I said before, with my thought on this, because I'm looking at this from a personal perspective. I'm like, oh man, you know, Jesus is the treasure. So again, I just review. I found Matthew Henry because I just kept digging until I found one that worked for me. So Matthew Henry worked for me. All right, and he says Jesus Christ is the true treasure.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm happy now. So I'm just rolling with Matthew Henry. And he tells me this. He says, the gospel is the field in which the treasure is hid.
Mm.
So now I'm rolling with this. So I'm like, well, okay, I like what Matthew Henry's saying, but I can't say that Spurgeon and Guzik are incorrect. So what we have here is we've got different perspectives. So this lesson is about process and perspectives. All right. So, again, this is review, but this is brand new because I decided to make this chart. And I did this the other day and copied it over.
Wow.
Yeah, so let's walk through the chart. So the way this chart works is you got the man, you got the treasure, and you got the field. From Jesus' perspective, the way that Guzik and Spurgeon say is that, hey, Jesus is the man. Amen. And the man, all right, and he sees us as that treasure, and the field is the world. And that's, I mean, John 3:16. I can't refute that. But then when I look at it from a personal perspective, the man is me or you. And Jesus is that treasure. And I like what Matthew Henry commentary says, the field is the Bible.
The gospel.
It is. So does that make
the
sense?
Good news.
I mean, this is how it works for me. How does this work? And I'm going to open this up in a minute. How does this work for you? Because here's how it works for me. I'm just a guy out here trying to figure out how to make this whole life thing work. And all of a sudden, I roll up on this treasure called Jesus. And I want to understand more about Jesus. And the more I dig into the Bible, the more Jesus and my faith becomes real, because the Bible is that big field that contains that treasure. In fact, the volume of the book, it says in Scripture, is Christ. And as we come to Bible study, I'll ask the question, are we learning and finding more about Jesus in this beautiful field that we call the gospel or the Bible? Absolutely. Some thoughts, I'll open it up, some thoughts around the middle piece there, the you. Okay, all right. So I drew this arrow from the Bible to us. And I don't know if that arrow is correct or not, but I see the man being us, you and I, and we see that treasure, which is Jesus, but it could be somebody else.
Holy Spirit.
And then we've got, somebody said the Holy Spirit, okay. And then we got the field, which is the world. Now, I might have to adjust this. Again, I was kind of doing this on the fly. So help me with this, because I might have to tighten up this design. Everybody see where I'm headed here? Because there's three perspectives that I see. One is the perspective that Jesus has of this parable and how the kingdom works and that treasure. The other is the perspective that we as believers have. And then, question, is there a perspective for others?
Lost.
Okay. So, and I might have done this wrong. As I look at the box, where do the lost fit in?
The world.
Ah.
They're in the field.
Big lost world.
Yeah.
Lost in the field.
Okay.
The fields are ready for the harvest.
Oh, very good. I got to write that down. That is good. Oh, you
for the harvest workers.
Still Jesus, and the man is believers sharing the gospel. Maybe.
Say that again, because I'm still writing on the field. Field is the world.
The harvest.
Ready for harvest. Oh, that's good.
We're the harvest workers.
Yeah, this is not, this lesson, I hope is going to be a little different. This is not so much a Chuck telling you what I think the Lord showed me and all the rest. I think this is a collaboration, because this is kind of brand new to me. Because I never looked at this parable this deeply or like this. And I tell you, in the others, I was really getting ready to swap out the Jesus for the treasure and say, them of the world, but the lost. But I think you guys called it the world. Now, is there something in particular as you look at this diagram? Tell me what speaks to you. What do you notice? What do you observe?
You have an arrow from the Bible to us. And we need to be in the Bible every day to know it, to be able to connect with it and have it in us.
Okay. I like that.
We can share it with the world.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Anything else?
From the believer's perspective and soon to be the non-believer's perspective, Jesus is the key to everything.
Yes, he is that treasure. He's the key. He's the treasure. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't even be in the field. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't even be in the Bible.
We would be lost in the field.
Yeah.
We got a comment. Chuck, one of the things that stands out to me in all the depth of this little couple of verses is the depth of the scripture and how you can't ever reach all the bottom of the meaning because it has a lot of application.
hey, Susan, I mean, we're only talking about two scriptures here, and we've all heard this scripture before. And we should be able to blow right through this. But Susan, you are so correct. This field is very deep and it is very wide.
It is.
And it just amazes me that these two sentences, these two scriptures, have all this depth. And it shows the path of what we're supposed to be doing. Now, as I'm looking at this, I can't believe I've been looking at this long. And I did this chart, I saw two things that are really the gist for me of this lesson. One is perspective. So we got a Jesus perspective, we got a us perspective, and then we got a perspective that we're supposed to have for others. But the other thing I see here is process. Do you see process?
Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Yes. So here's how the process works. I got the Jesus who kicks off the process, because without him, the process doesn't get started. And then the next part of that process, as you see the circles going across the top with the arrows, Jesus invests in me, and then you and I invest in others. It's the process. Do you see the feasts, the phases in here?
Yeah.
Okay. In the sequence of the feast, the first four steps, Passover, the cross, unleavened bread, the burial, first fruits, the resurrection, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. Those first four feasts connect us to who, first and foremost?
To Jesus,
to God. The next three feasts, trumpets, representing his mercy. Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, representing righteousness and victory. And then peace, tabernacles, the seventh one. They really point more to us operating in the world through, as Sandra said, the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's like And I heard Pastor Phipps say this years ago in the old days of Von Forrest. First you reach up to God, and then you reach out to others. So there's process here. And you really can't effectively reach out to others unless you have first reached out to Him.
Correct. He equips us.
He equips us. But if you go out without the right equipment,
you're going to get pounded.
Absolutely. What is it? Acts chapter 19, where the sons of Sheba, I think it's Acts chapter 19, where the sons of Sheba went in to try to deliver the person from the demon, and they went in there and they tried to do it like Paul did. And the demon jumped on him and said, I don't know who you are. I know Jesus. I know Paul, but I don't know you. And then he beats him up and takes the clothes. And so, you're ready for a beatdown when you're not properly equipped and you don't have the right relationship with God. God is love. We don't know how to love others. We don't know how to love our spouses. We don't know how to love our children. We don't know how to love our coworkers. We don't know how to love effectively like God asks us to love if we don't understand first. And this first comment, if we don't understand His love for us, if we don't perfect our love for Him, and then we love others because now we recognize.
I think His parable speaks and tells us how important we are to Him. We are the treasure.
Yes.
We're part of the kingdom.
Yes.
He came and He gave everything He had. And ball us with His blood.
It's so powerful. That's one of the things I think is in my notes. I hope it's in my notes. I'm going to say it anyway. There's two additional things that should come out of this lesson. One, how precious Jesus is to us. He's that treasure. And then two, how precious we are to Him. What a message that we can give to others. To let them know, do you know how important you are to God? John 3:16.
Hey, Chuck, you know, you have two different feasts here. The first four, that's the first coming, that's the spring feast.
Yes.
And then the second coming, that's the fall feast, the last three.
Yes. So, Al, very good. I'm seeing that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of this, but when I'm looking at that middle piece there, that's spring feast. Following me? And I'm going to update this diagram to show this before I put it out.
So that's the first four.
Yes. So yes. That's what I think. So Al, you're on it. Look at the process. Jesus is first. When we get to that middle one where the you is, everything underneath that you, the you, Jesus, the Bible, those are the spring feasts. Got it? When you go over to the last bubble, the others, these are the fall feasts. Because you guys said in your own words that world under the others is the harvest, the lost.
Okay.
And us, we're the workers. Yeah.
And yes, exactly, Sandra. And we are the workers that are looking to share the treasure with the lost world. So I saw this. I thought, now, I'm looking at this, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I built this chart yesterday. I'm here at my daughter's house apartment. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to do this chart or whatever. Because I know what Davey's going to say. Oh my God, didn't we do this about 2 weeks ago? And here's how come we stay on things so long? We went on before. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do this chart so we can move on. And as I'm doing the chart, and I'm praying this morning. It was last night, really. And a thought hit me last night. Now, we've got everything covered in this parable. The man, the treasure, and the field, but there's one more thing that hit me this morning. So first, let's do the application for today in my notes. All right. How valuable is it in finding Christ? Of what value is He to us? And I put down, he should be the most important treasure that we find.
Amen.
I've got another note here. In order to truly possess this treasure, we have to seek him and recognize the value in doing so. Look at the third bullet. Finding Christ should bring us great joy.
Yeah.
Here's one. Gonna highlight this.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes, ma'am.
Going back to that third one, that's a daily thing.
Oh, you just screwed that up, Deb. Deb, I was waiting to share that at the end. And you know what? Since you opened that door, let's step into this. Because I said this is process. And you're saying it's a daily thing.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that hit me this morning in my quiet time was, this is not a one and done thing. Just because I recognize that Jesus is the treasure, got it? Just because I recognize that that word contains all the goodness and more revelation about this treasure, and just because I'm saved and I have this Holy Spirit working in my life, does that mean that it's done and I'm good to go?
No.
So it's not a one-time process. Uh-uh. The kingdom of heaven, because this is how God reigns in our life. He gets more and more control. He gets more reign as we continue daily to practice these feasts, these steps, this parable. How come it can't just be one and done? Why do we have to, as Deb says, continue to do this on a daily basis?
Because we're still sinners.
So Satan's
because Satan rules the world. Well,
yeah, but seeing him daily, we find new things about him all the time. As we grow, his work grows more in us, and we come to a better understanding.
Oh, that's awesome.
Understanding.
And again, that is why this parable is likened unto the kingdom of heaven, because that's the process. He gets more reign. He gets more glory. It's just, we just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow in this wonderful field. And we recognize our purpose, which is to share Christ. So I'm spending a lot of money at these restaurants here. It's expensive in Arkansas. And so she lives in a high pollutant area of town or whatever, and food is paying $50 and $60 for food here or there or whatever. And she tells me, hey, I know how you are. Everybody here loves Christ. This is Bible Belt, you know. And it was difficult for me to not tell each of the waitresses that waited on us, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, I just need to tell you, you know, and ask you a question. I got to do my job. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus loves you? You know, and I'd leave him a big tip, which is another reason why I'm running out of money. I leave him a big tip just to let him know God loves him, and I just want to bless him. I don't know if anybody receive Christ from that interaction, but I'm just spreading some seed.
Amen, brother.
I recognize that he's such a treasure. I want to share him and do those as Al said. I want to do those spring feasts. I want to share with them that good news. But I want to do it in such a way. I want to meet them where they are. I don't want to be, you know, the guy that pounds down the door and I become obnoxious or whatever. I just want to share the joy. And I want to do it in a way and in a manner that's led by the Spirit so that fruit comes out of this. So I like what you guys said. When we find out more about how precious this treasure is from studying in the field, that causes us to want to do this on a daily basis. Here's one. How about this? So I like my job. I took a big pay cut to take the job. They brought me on, and they're like, man, you know, you're so precious to us, and you have all this insight, we're going to get better. And they're listening to things. They're listening to my recommendations, and everything's going great on this job. And all of a sudden, they start to panic. Ron knows all about panic in the workplace. I get to chime in, but they don't do what I tell them to do. They're not listening to my advice. And I'm starting to get a little frustrated. And we're all starting to have to go back to work again. And I get to understand that or whatever. But long story short, my job isn't as much fun as it used to be. And I'm starting to get an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anybody ever have an attitude?
No.
I tell you to a truth, I have justification to have a certain attitude. In fact, I was just telling my daughter, I said, hey, when I start going back to work, my door is going to be closed, my light's going to be off, because I don't like these people anymore. It's not a joy working with them. They don't listen to what I want to do. They just continue to make the same mistakes or whatever, and blah, 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 blah.
Brad.
Shut up, Al. And that's the thing what I love about Al. And so I'm talking to her. My holiness kicks in. And so I'm talking to her. I go, yeah, but I know. I'm just going to pray about it because, you know, God's going to get glory or whatever. I just got to determine whether this is me or whether this is the Spirit allowing me to do this because I have a right. And I'm right in what I'm doing because of, you know, the treatment that I'm receiving. And she told me, sounds like it's you and not him. Okay, Al, now you can say it.
Pride.
Do you, maybe I'm the only one that's kind of sick like that. I know about the treasures. I know this word. I love the Lord. And yet I still find myself having to do what Deb said do. Al, if you say it's my pride that's causing me to want to have this attitude that's justifiable, How do I get past the pride and the hurt and the disappointment? How do I get past that?
Humble yourself.
Right.
Give it to Jesus.
Yep.
Step number one.
That's an everyday thing. Every day.
Okay. All right. Now, go back to the scriptures. There's only two. Tell me how I can use the scriptures and this lesson. Because you guys are telling me, nah, you shouldn't close your door. I'm going to tell you right now. Let's just be real. This is Bible study. Let's just be real. I think I'm going to be closing my door when I get into the office. I don't think I want to be all friendly and jovial like I've always been or whatever. Nah, they're going to want to know. They're going to feel this attitude. All right? I'm just telling you. That's how this is going to roll out. All right? Now, I'm not going to be, you know, obnoxious. I'm still going to be Christian. You know, I'm still going to be Christian. Still going to be nice. I'm not going to cuss anybody out. God forbid. You know, pastor doesn't do that. You know, I'm still going to be good. Still going to have my praise music on. Still going to be praising him. Tell me, and if you think that I'm okay with that, if you think that what I'm planning on doing is okay, then let's move on to the next, you know, set of bullets here. But if you think that that's grieving your spirit some kind of way, you tell me in these two verses that we're studying how that is the key to me changing if you think I need to change my attitude?
Well, you have the treasure and you need to share it with the field, which is the people at your work.
Oh, wait a minute. I like that. Oh, my God. You know what? I praise God for this Bible study today. This is awesome. Look what Lauren just said. Lauren said that I should open my door. I should open my door, and I should be accommodating and have a different attitude because I should be doing that last phase there. I should be showing people in the world who are lost on my job that treasure, that joy.
You be Jesus' light to them.
Hey, amen. And her answer is good. However,
did Jesus close the door on you?
No.
I'm going to stop using my example. That was from last lesson, Deb, about the thing. Like that. So, David says, don't go back to a couple weeks ago. All right. Lauren's answer is good, but it ain't going to happen. Why is it not going to happen? Go back to the parable again. She's right. I need to share this treasure to others. It should be a ministry to others. But my door is still going to be shut. And it will not be open to others until something else happens that comes out of this parable. Folks, we're having Bible study now.
Gotta let go of all of what you're holding on to.
Sounds like it still has a bit of the world in it.
Gotta ask the Holy Spirit in to take over and not you.
The world's still in.
You're in that field. You're back in the field.
Back to the chart. What Lauren is asking me to do is which of these three bubbles?
See it from Jesus' perspective.
The last bubble. So what Lauren has asked me to do, she's asked me to jump all the way to the end and start operating, which is what she told me to do, focus on others. That's important. That's the end game. That's the goal.
Without going up first before you go out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My door stays closed, but others. They're doing this to me.
Right, but Jesus first.
So, here's how the scripture works. I got to do this. I know he's a treasure. I know he's a treasure. I know he's a treasure. But you pick up things in your life. People offend you along the way. And while I still recognize him as being a treasure, I might have to wash some of the dust off my feet that I picked up along the way. Because my feelings and my attitude are more valuable than the treasure that I find in Christ. And I'm trying to hold on to this Christ treasure and my feelings and what's important to me at the same time.
Answer to that.
Question. Didn't Jesus tell the disciples if their message was not received when they went into an area to shake the dust off and go on to someone else?
Absolutely.
I'm not saying you got to leave the job, but I'm just saying, if they don't receive it, then you go on to somebody else.
Well, and that's a good point. And Susan, you're my best friend now. Because when I go to my door, I'm shaking the dust off you. And I will close my door and shake the dust off my feet on some things. But I must make sure that the motivation when I shake the dust off my feet is to make sure that it's led by the Spirit and not my flesh. I got to make sure I'm not doing the Peter thing. How many times we're supposed to forgive? Because I've been forgiven a whole lot, and there's a limit to I must be coming up against the limit right now.
You know, you can still come back. You're not going to cut off your nose to spite your face, but, you know, you go on to someone else, and then if they come back, right, bless God.
I agree. I like that. Here's the other thing. And I learned this. This may not be biblical, but, you know. So I was having some issues with my marriage once upon a time. And I went to court. And I said, hey, you know, this ain't working. She ain't listening to me. I'm going to court or whatever, you know. And then all of a sudden the revelation hit me. I'm like, God, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this? Said, well, she's not listening to you, but maybe you'll listen to me now. I'm like, you mean I'm going through this because I wasn't listening to you and you wanted to get my attention? Yeah, I'm trying to get your attention. Okay. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do next? Am I supposed to go through with all this stuff? What am I supposed to do? And he goes, Spirit hits me and says, have you done everything that you know to do in me before you walk out of this? And I'm like,
no.
Nope. So I stayed there. The Bible is wonderful. The Bible is real. But, man, I'm telling you, when you look at these scriptures and how the kingdom of heaven is supposed to work, this thing becomes more serious and becomes more real. And I'll be honest with you. I really don't know what I'm going to do when I get back into the office and I have to start interacting with these folk that I know don't listen to me anymore.
Forgive them, for they know what they do.
It's not that I hold anything against them. I don't have anything against them per se. You know, I mean, there's nothing really to forgive. It's just that, you know, it's like talking to your kids and they're talking in the wrong direction. I'm like, you know, I've talked to you, you're going in the wrong direction. There's nothing else I can do for you. You know, but you better not mess with me. But I promise you this.
Why are you closing your door?
Well, because I'm shaking the dust off my feet, but I got to make sure that I'm also not closing my door because of the hurt or the disappointment or the anger or the frustration. Correct. And until I'm sure about that, until I have peace in my spirit, I got to keep my door open. But I will say this. In order for me to keep my door open, because it's hard, I'm telling you, it's hard right now for me to keep my door open. But I have to see that the treasure is greater than what I'm trying to hold on to. I believe from this lesson and from the interaction that it will be okay and I'll make the right decision. And this is why Bible study and our collaboration and getting together and meeting like this is so important. Do you know that Al is probably going to ask me over time, how did that all work out? And I need to be able to have a testimony. And, you know, sometimes we go through these things not because it's just God getting our attention. Somebody else is going to go through something similar to what I just described. And what is the answer that we're going to give them? Is Jesus the treasure that we really say it is? See, this is where it gets really real for me. Because we all know this. And we've been living this, and we've been doing this. But are there some things that we've picked up or held on to along the way? Because he says the kingdom of heaven is like this, which means God gets more and more and more and more control. Al, let me ask you the question, based upon the little story that I shared with you. Does God have complete reign of my life?
Yes.
Well, he will.
If you let him.
Yeah, I let him. Okay. Now, as I'm going through my quiet time, all right, as I'm going through my quiet time, let me finish these steps, and then I'm going to get back, because this ties back into what Deb said. Knowing about Christ and being excited about him doesn't mean you fully possess this great treasure and the good life he provides. We must pursue full ownership. Does that make sense? Remember how the parable goes. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in the field, the which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy. All right? So he's excited. You see the treasure. You're excited about it. But what does he have to do to fully possess it?
To buy it.
He has to buy it. How many times in our Christian life and how many Christians do we know are excited about, hey, you're going to go to church with some folk right now. They're going to be very excited about Christ. They're going to be celebrating Christ. They're going to be praising Christ. But the question is, being excited about him and him having control of your life are two different things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Al, thank you for that vote of confidence. You know that God reigns in my life. He controls. I'm excited about him. I'm going to, for 10 hours, I'm going to be driving down the road praising God. He makes that drive. He makes the trouble that I got to go through, the inconvenience that I got to go through, he makes it fun. I have joy in the Lord.
Make sure you get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, I did get a good night's sleep. I'm leaving in like 5 minutes. But anyway, as we go through this, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Are there areas in my life that he still does not have total reign?
That's why it's a process.
Why it's a process.
And why it's daily.
Sometimes he allows things, oh my God. Sometimes, I got to write this down. Sometimes he allows things to happen to our life.
To get our attention.
So that we can finish going through the process.
It'll be a process as long as we stay on this earth.
Amen.
Because we keep picking up these. That's why Jesus said, wash your feet. You don't need to, because your feet pick up some dust along the way. Yeah. Sometimes he allows things to happen so we can
continue.
Not to mention the animal God.
Okay, here's another bullet. Until we are able to place Christ as the most valuable pursuit and investment in our lives, we can never really fully enjoy full ownership of the benefits and this great treasure that it offers. Understand that what we have in Christ is more valuable than anything else we may pursue and value in the earth. Maybe even more valuable than me wanting to close my door if the Spirit doesn't lead me to do it. Thank you, Susan. Using what Matthew Henry states, the Bible is the most valuable field and place for us to dig and discover joy and new treasures. Let's just keep studying this word. That's why I'm going to be an interim pastor at another church, but man, this Bible study is just powerful for me. If it wasn't for this Bible study, I don't even know if I'd be in the Bible as much as I am right now. You guys hold me and keep me accountable. I hope we all are holding each other accountable as we go through these lessons. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Believers pursuing Christ and surrendering all. Now, the next parable, 45 and 46, is very similar. We will pick that up next week. But before we close the door on this parable, and yes, baby smiles with glee, we will finish a parable today. There is something that is missing, and it hit me this morning. We got everything in this parable covered. We got the man, we got the treasure, we got the field, but there's one thing that remains that's missing. I heard the Holy Spirit, but that's not it. He's in there somewhere.
But can I say one thing? This week I've been doing gardening. And as much as I enjoy doing the gardening, there's weeds. And we got the field, but we got the weeds. And there's always weeds.
Yeah. And our earlier parables have kind of hit the weed part. Oh, let's use that. Let's use that. Okay. So for the sake of time, this morning there was a thunderstorm, it was raining, and I was up, used the bathroom, tried to get back to sleep, and the Spirit hit me with, it said, you're missing one major element in the parable. I said, I got the man, I got the treasure. Commentary told me about the field. There's nothing else there. I said, there's one other thing there. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy goeth forth, and selleth all he hath, and buyeth that field. And that's when it hit me. There's one more piece missing in the model. What gets sold?
You have to surrender.
What does the field cost? That's a question to you right now. He sells all that he has. Did not cover that. We talked about it a little bit, but we did not cover that. What gets sold? What does the selling piece represent in the spiritual realm for us?
Wow.
Giving up.
Surrender. Surrender.
Yeah. So, Jesus buys the field. What did it cost him? What was the purchase price of the field?
His life.
Right.
His blood.
And we're his disciples. Now, here's the different perspective. In order for us to purchase this field, to really understand and get into the Bible, in order for us to make Jesus that treasure, what does it cost? What's the price?
It's our life too. We have to be born again.
No, it's us. It's our lives. So we pick up our cross and we follow daily. Him. As Deb says, daily. Because each day I pick up something, whether it's an attitude or a feeling or something else. I pick up something, and Christ might be telling me, you just picked up something that might get in the way of my reign.
Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
All right. I'm going to add this to my notes, but I want to end with this. Do we pick up things?
Yes.
Do we pick up things along the way?
Yeah.
That interfere with his reign?
Yes.
And the kingdom of heaven is like this. We see the treasure. We pick up the treasure. He starts to reign in our life. And that process is he starts to gain more and more control over our life, over the world. Amen. But along the way, there's still some things that we might pick up, that we might go through, that he lets us know. I reign over this percentage, but here's an area in your life that I don't have full control over. And do I see him and trust him enough and see him as valuable a treasure to give up and let go of that thing I might have picked up? So that I can have his best and share that treasure and that experience and that testimony with the world. I tell you, it's hard to close my door. But it's easier when I understand the spiritual significance behind this scripture. And he's such a treasure. If I open my door, it's because he reigns.
Hey,
I close my door and shake the dust off my feet. It's because he reigns.
Hey, Chuck.
in that chunk. Any thoughts or questions before we stop?
Which says it?
Chuck.
Yes, ma'am.
When you were talking about closing your door, it reminded me of the scripture of you are the light of the world, nor do they light a lamp and stick it under a basket, but on a lampstand so all can see. That's what reminded you, me about you closing the door. You're not letting your light shine through that closed door.
All right, just shine. All they got to do is knock on the door and come on in. Hey, you say that's well, we're laughing and joking. That's true. But now you guys know how to pray for me.
Exactly.
Yes.
And now we know how to pray for each other. All right. Well, 10:33. I promised my my fam that I was going to be on the road by 10:30, but it was worth the 3 minutes. And there's nothing greater than having your kids listen to you teach a Bible study, so they were in the background listening. I love you guys. Pray for my safe return. I've already thanked them for it. Man, his Bible study to this group, just awesome. It is for me. And I got some things to think about. I got some things to work on. I got some things I need to sell off so I can continue to go through this process where he reigns. You know what? I think this is what is going to really change me. Susan, I'm going to give you this one because I think you can relate to this. When we say anything in church that talks about he reigns, that's going to mean something totally different to me from here on out.
Yeah.
All right. With that, I will close it out in prayer. You are welcome to stay on the Zoom call when I Zoom out. Love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you more.
God bless.
Watch God in the name of Jesus. Oh, let me stop my record here.